The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is standing by. The topic tonight is human cloning.
How about that?
And the implications thereof. So stay tuned for all this and more. Chris and Rob, a late night talk show, WAIF FM, Cincinnati, Ohio. Wow, ain't I funky radio? WAIF. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Welcome to it. We'll be here until midnight, so sit back and relax. You're going to enjoy this. Tonight we're talking about human cloning and the implications thereof. A religious organization called the Raelian Movement claims that life on Earth was created scientifically in laboratories by extraterrestrials whose name, Elohim, is found in the Hebrew Bible and was mistranslated by the word God years and years ago, and which also claims that Jesus' resurrection was in fact a cloning performed by the Elohim. And these people, along with Dr. Bridget Bosselet, who's our first guest on tonight's program, have set up a company called Clonaid. Clonaid offers a fantastic opportunity to parents with fertility problems or homosexual couples who have a child, who would like to have a child cloned from one of them. The company may also sponsor American laboratories working on human cloning and whose government subsidies have been cut by President Clinton. The cost could be as low as $200,000 American for the cloning services. Hello, Dr. Bosselet.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Great.
Where are we talking to you from?
Oh, right now I'm in Montreal in Canada.
How are things in Montreal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great. We have snow and it's fine.
Well, tell us a little bit about CloneAid and how you got involved in it.
Yes, you know, CloneAid was a company, we founded it about 2 years ago, right after Dolly's appearance, you know, because there were so many people saying that cloning is not, should be banished, should be stopped, that we should never do it. And I was quite frustrated at that time because I think, and I do believe, that cloning is important for the science and for humanity. So at that time, we decided to build that company and propose and do the research and propose the cloning of human beings for those who want to do it.
I don't think that you should say anything should not be done. And certainly cloning as a scientific practice could have many benefits to mankind.
Yes.
But there are some obvious illusions, mostly from science fiction writers over the years, that, like any other technology, evil could be done with the cloning procedure.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, 2 years ago, I was almost the only one to say that there might be some benefits with cloning. All the people were saying this is really something that we should stop, remember. So now, indeed, people have really changed their mind, and now we understand that this step in science is important because we understand more about the cell, we understand more about how we can make new organs and a lot of benefits for human beings. And it's true that with any advance in technology, you can do the best and the worst. It was true for nuclear weapons, or, you know, nuclear power that can be used just for the comfort of everybody. So, and even with your hand, you can kill or you can make love. So it's just a matter of consciousness.
Yeah.
And to me, consciousness is the most important part, is the most important thing that I should bring to humanity, if I say that. So, of course, I'm not the only one, but if I can tell people that human cloning is important if we use it with consciousness, then I will stand and do it.
Dr. Bosselet, let me ask you, this might be a basic question, but this is a basic kind of show, and I want to clarify some things for those who are tuned in who may not know the difference. What is the procedure of cloning, and why is it controversial?
Yes. To clone some human right now, you have to take a cell of an adult, for example, and take out the DNA code, the nucleus of this cell, and introduced it into an ovule, so it's a new cell, which has a lot of different chemicals inside, and which will reactivate your genetic code, okay? So doing this, you actually start a new life, because this new cell starts to divide and go into an embryo, and then you can have a baby with this new cell. It sounds simple, but we have to be very careful, because during the transfer of this DNA code, we can make a lot of problems, because it's so tiny that you can make defaults, and then it would lead to some abortions, or, you know. So we have to be very, very careful, because we are dealing with human beings. Okay, so that's why it took that long to make. We knew about that 2 years ago, and today there are only Korean scientists who proposed and who said that they had succeeded in it. But to me, it's important to make a lot of research before.
Yeah, the Koreans don't count. Just go ahead and say it. The Koreans don't count. They lie a lot.
You mean? Well,
they lie a lot. Go ahead and say
I won't jump on that, because I'm not sure.
We'll start an international incident between Korea and Canada here.
Well, it sounds like trying to clone a cell is almost like trying to thread a needle with a pair of spacesuit gloves on.
It's almost that if we consider what they were doing 2 years ago. Right now, they have been through a lot of improvement in the techniques. And it's true for any discovery, you know. You start with something, and somehow it happens almost by chance. And after 2 years or 10 years, then it's something that you do every day because you refined the techniques, and that's what's going on right now with cloning experiments.
And why is cloning so controversial?
Well, you know, each time that we are doing something that is somehow related to religion, because you know, to have a new entity and decide for one human being to be alive again, usually it was only a fact of God, and today it's not anymore. Today we can prove that human beings can do it. Okay.
This is WIF. We're speaking to Dr. Bridget Beausoleil from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, about cloning. Now, doctor, I've heard people propose human cloning, but they basically want to clone like a organ bag. So in case you ever need a liver transplant or a kidney transplant, you have this bag of your own organs just kind of hanging out somewhere. You can go in there and carve you out the liver and put it into the body. But this isn't what you're talking about at all. You're talking about making a whole walking, talking, loving kind of human being running around on a planet, right?
Just a baby, just a new baby, who would be an artificial twin. That's all we are trying to do. It's true that we will also be able to do organs and things like that, but our ultimate goal is really to have a new baby with the exact genetic code of an adult.
Now,
okay?
would you be able to create a baby who is not only an identical twin of the person that you are cloning, but could you make subtle changes? Like, could the person say, I'd like to clone myself, but next time I want to have red hair, or I want to have larger breasts, or I want my shoe size to be a couple shoe size smaller.
Well, okay, you know perfectly that this will be done in a few years or so. It's true that since we have more and more understanding of how this DNA code is acting, of course we could change a little bit of it and just have another person. You probably saw all this publicity around Craig Venter, who said that we are able right now to re-engineer human beings. And it's true that there are a lot of experiments, especially in California, where some scientists are introducing new genes into embryo cells to have new babies with different behaviors. This is the future. But again, we are doing something that we don't really understand because we don't have the whole picture regarding the DNA code. We don't know all the genes. Once we'll be able to know exactly, to read it from A to Z and know exactly what we are doing, then I think we should be able to do it. And then we'll have very, very interesting debates, because that's certainly interesting. Should we change human beings?
This is a little bit off the subject, Dr. Beausoleil.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the chances of Quebec seceding from Canada, starting a huge civil war, sucking America into it, and thus unleashing a nuclear holocaust on the North American continent?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Neither do I.
Is Quebec going to secede from Canada, which will start a big civil war, and then the United States will get sucked into it, and then there'll be a nuclear holocaust on the North American continent?
Well, I'm just, you know, for a few days in Quebec, so I won't talk about it.
Well, I apologize for my co-host, Dr. Beausoleil. Every time we talk to somebody in Canada, he has to ask that question.
I'm afraid that's actually going to happen. Okay, we'll get back to cloning
We're
now.
Talking to Dr. Bridget Beausoleil of CloneAid. Tell us for a minute a little bit about CloneAid. What is the service? How does it exactly work? If you want to place an order and have a clone made of yourself or of a loved one, how do you actually contact CloneAid? I do know that it costs as low as $200,000 to begin cloning yourself. That's a lot of money to me, but to Michael Jackson it might not be.
Yeah, and actually we have about 100 customers ready to pay whenever we are ready.
Can you give some names?
Sorry?
Give us some names.
Yeah, has Michael Jackson signed up yet? I heard that he did.
I'm sorry, he didn't. I'd love to.
Well, who did? Who has signed up?
No, really, they don't. They want to be.
Well, who cares what they want?
Well, they are my customer.
Okay.
You can ask. Okay.
Hey,
sorry about that.
Can they do dead people? Can we get some DNA from the King and clone Elvis?
I'm not sure he's preserved well enough.
Elvis is very preserved. There's nothing but preservatives in that body. let's just pretend that Elvis was perfectly preserved. Can we then go ahead and make a little E?
If it's preserved in deep freeze, then we can probably get back some DNA code that could be reactivated. But we haven't worked on this. I'm just today working on living cells.
Okay.
And so I don't want to answer too quickly about the dead one, okay?
What are the advantages for a couple to make a clone rather than just have a regular old baby or the Petri dish baby they do now?
You know, the people have seen the parents to be, they just don't have the possibility to have a child. They came from all over the world and they have really no means. They have been through all the IVF techniques, and it's impossible for them to have any baby. So they have the choice either to adopt or to go through cloning. And so they decided to go through cloning. That's the choice. I mean, I don't.
And this won't give you 18 little bitty teeny tiny babies like that other way does.
Hmm. Well, I do hope that these parents-to-be will have their children soon, because I've met them and they are quite serious and they want to love the child, and I mean, I'm quite happy with that.
I was asking you a moment ago exactly how your service works. I know you also have other services that CloneAid offers called Insure a Clone and Clone a Pet. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes. Well, Insure a Clone, it's quite simple. If you want to be cloned one day, you just make yourself preserved. And that's something that we're able to do right now. If you want to, we can just have a sample of your cell and keep them deep freeze somewhere. So that way you'll have them. For the Clone a Pet, we introduced that a few months ago because, of course, all the research we have done are mainly on pets. We are not working on human cells at the beginning because we have some ethics, even if you don't trust us on that. And so through these research, we had some success, even if it's not published yet, but it might be soon. And also, what is interesting is that we got a lot of letters from people saying, I'd love to get my cat back. He died, and I have a cell. It's deep freeze somewhere. Could you do something? We really got a lot of questions about that.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, Ohio, talking to Dr. Bridget Bosselet of CloneAid. And what is the and you're also a representative of the Raelian movement, which is a religion. What is the relationship between CloneAid and Raelian, or what is the name of your religion?
Oh, it's a Raelian religion. It's true. It's not easy to pronounce in English, right?
what is it, and what does it have to do with cloning? In the introduction to the show tonight, I mentioned that you believe that years and years and years ago, extraterrestrials created humanity through a process of cloning.
Yes, that's my belief. You know, we have two choices in terms of origin of life. Either you believe in God or you believe in evolution. Sometimes you believe in both. It's easy that way. Easier, I would say. But I would suggest a third theory, which is instead of having some gods or God coming and creating everything on Earth, I do believe that there were human beings coming a long time ago, and they had some ethical problem and bioethic committee in their planets, and they were refused to do any research on their planets, so they had to do it somewhere else. They came over and they did all this research, tried to understand the genetic codes, and they started with a few, you know, simple organisms, and at the end they created man. So that's the whole story, which is written in the Bible, in Genesis. You have it in a lot of different books, ancient books. So that's my belief, and that's the belief of tens of thousands of people around the world. It's based, of course, on science. It's based, we believe that they are men, and they are just another humanity. So we don't believe in any gods or God anymore. And we do believe in science. We think that science is the most important thing for us on Earth, and that it should benefit to humanity.
So we're like a humanity is like a race of sea monkeys. We're an after-school project for some really smart aliens. Was that the deal?
It probably started that way. After a while, they realized that we are more important than they thought at the beginning. So that's why they have been sending us what we call prophets. I mean, Buddha, Mahomet, Jesus, Moses, and all the likes. They have been sent by them, talking to us in the words that we could understand at that time, and trying to help us, because they realized that we were important, just like children, and we have a, you know, children and father relationships with them. So they send us, you know, messages to stop fighting and to have more love and consciousness in what we're doing. That's my belief, that it means that all the religions, to me, have been created by them. And so it's a very, very peaceful message that is there.
You got to admit that's not exactly mainstream.
I have to admit that.
Where'd you go to college, Dr. Beausoleil?
I've got my PhD in Houston, Texas.
At Rice?
U of H.
University of Houston?
Right.
Were you down there when Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon were playing basketball?
I'm not sure, and I was not very fond of basketball. Would you mind?
You like hockey?
Hockey is better, but I'm not used to it.
Skiing?
You know, I'm more aware with soccer, but I'm not sure that you would. I'm French, actually. That's probably why.
So you're a big fan of Jerry Lewis, then?
I'm sorry?
If you're French, then you're certainly a big fan of Jerry Lewis and his movies.
Yes, that's true.
Right. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF. We're having a very enjoyable conversation with Dr. Bridget Beausoleil of Clone Aid, who could be cloning you someday. Or at least that would be her desire, if you've got $200,000.
Only $200,000 American dollars.
Now, let me mention while we have you on the phone that Clone Aid has a website, and it's an easy-to-access website because it is currently linked up at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show website. If you're a regular listener of the program, you know what that is. But in case you don't, jot this down. You can find the Chris and Rob webpage at www.cincinnatlas.com. That's CINCINNATLAS. Did I get that right? .com. Check it out. You scroll down to where it says links. You click on that. Shows you a whole bunch of things to do. And you click on the little thing that says human cloning. It'll take you right to the Clone Aid website. Dr. Beausoleil, if somebody is actually thinking about placing an order and they got $200,000 in their pocket, they're thinking about cloning themselves or a loved one, how do they go ahead and contact you and set up an appointment?
Yes, it's quite easy, actually. You call a phone number in Las Vegas, and I'm sorry, I don't have it in mind right now. It's really awful. Would you have it?
They can check it out on the website.
It's on the website.
Website anyway. Yeah. And then they will have Nadine, who is a very nice person, who would tell them exactly what to do if they really to have all the information. Right now, we have a list of persons, and we have contracts ready to be signed. Today we are doing research, and once we are ready, I mean, all these people will know that we are ready to start. Some of them want to be the first ones, and they...
Get them in a bidding war.
Sorry?
You should get them in a bidding war. Say, well, Shaquille, Michael Jackson's given $200,000. If you want to be first, Mr. O'Neill, $250,000.
Oh, really? I didn't think about that.
Then you go to Tina Turner, you get $300,000 from her. Then you go to Jack Nicholson, get $400,000 from him. You get a little bidding war going for number one.
How interesting. You know, these $200,000 are the exact reward that we need for our research experiments that we are doing right now. So it's only a biotechnology capital risk company, and there is no link with the Raelian religion apart from the philosophy. So no money link, actually. So I think it's important.
Hey, you know what I heard?
What'd you hear?
I heard that all seedless grapes are really clones. Is that true?
You heard what?
That seedless grapes, you know what a seedless, you know, the grapes with no seeds?
Okay.
I heard those are really clones of each other. Because they don't have seeds, that's what they're clones.
Yes, you're right. There are many clones. You know, cloning is probably the first way to reproduce on Earth. all the bacteria are reproducing through cloning. You have billions around you, and they are all cloning themselves.
How much blood or DNA do we have to give up if we want to be cloned?
Oh, it's a blood sample. It's quite easy.
Well, how much?
Oh, just a few drops would
like
be quite enough.
Okay.
Would a clone of a human being, say a clone of myself, would there be any potential for something to go awry, and that clone could either be deformed or not have a soul or not be able to reproduce?
It'd be just like you then.
Okay, I don't believe in souls, so I wouldn't answer this question, okay?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about souls. I was wondering if, since clones... there's a concept that I've read in religion about ensoulment. It's the point at which a person acquires a soul, and supposedly it occurs at conception. But during the process of cloning, there's no point at which a man's sperm touches a woman's egg. So would a clone, in fact, have a soul? But maybe your idea of a soul would be different than that of, say, a Jesuit priest.
Certainly, but look, if you have a question about the soul of a clone baby, would you have a question with the soul of twins, natural twins? So I don't think that you would kill one of the twins because this the second one or the first one, I don't know which one you would choose. Because this one wouldn't have a soul. I mean, they have the exact same genetic code, and they are two different human beings, because the moment they arrive on Earth, the moment they are born, they are different, and two quite different entities. And if you believe in soul, I would say that they probably have two different souls. Okay?
So then you probably could not achieve immortality by cloning yourself. You die, then all of a sudden you wake up in your new body, because that new body would have a different soul or a different personality.
Different personality, because surrounded with a different environment, different education, so you certainly becoming a different entity. But it's interesting to think about the research and the science of today. And, you know, there have been experiments, especially in Japan and Korea, in this part of the world. They have been working on memory and on the brain, trying to understand the mechanism of it. And, for example, they made some experiments on rats, and they educated one rat and took out some of its brain and put some extract of the brain into the brain of another rat.
Ugh.
And the rat was
gross.
Acting like the educated one. It means that we have been transferring education through extracts of brain. Of course, again, they were using, very...
Now, that does sound like science fiction, where you, like, take a human brain and you put in a chicken.
Yeah,
the chicken brain and you put in a human.
Okay,
That's creepy.
Sounds like science fiction, but cloning was sounding like science fiction 10 years ago. You would agree on that.
All right, well, you're starting to scare me after a half hour. First 25 minutes were fine. Now you're talking about brain transplants, and you're starting to scare me.
Oh, no. I do believe that one day we'll be able to clone human beings with their own personality, and that will be called, sometimes it's called resurrection or reincarnation. To me, it's only scientific recreation, and I do believe that one day we'll be able to do it, but we'd better have a higher consciousness than the one we have today, certainly.
Right. There you go.
So you haven't actually cloned anyone yet?
Not yet.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Dr. Bridget Bosselet of CloneAid. We do have the phone number handy. If somebody would like it, they can call us here at the station, and we'll give it to them off the air. And the CloneAid website is linked up at our homepage at the Chris and Rob website. Thanks, Dr. Bosselet, for talking to
Thank
us, and
you.
We will be in touch.
Have a good evening.
Bonsoir.
Bye-bye.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk. That was frightening.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, I got you.
Hey, dude, that's scary. That whole brain thing is just creepy. That whole taking somebody's brain and squirting into somebody else's brain, I want no part of that, man.
Okay,
I'm for the big organ sack.
Yeah, you got to be able to get kidneys.
For the big organ sack. And I'm, you know, and if you want to have, but the deal is, if you want to have kids, why not just go ahead and have kids? You know, ba-boom! Try to have kids like that, and if that doesn't work once, you do it, ba-boom, 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 night after night after night after
Some
night.
Some people just can't get them that way, though. Some people got it all screwed up.
You go ba-boom, 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 boom, boom.
Some people are missing that part.
You know what? Maybe that's God saying don't have kids.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll be back in a moment, and we will continue this conversation with Clay Dillingham of... What is Clay Dillingham of?
You with one ball.
He's a
Don't reproduce.
What?
This is God.
Hitler had one ball.
Don't reproduce. You with one ball. Don't reproduce.
Clay Dillingham is a biocultural anthropologist.
Is he a crackpot, too?
No, he's pretty normal.
Is he a Canadian?
No, he's from Cincinnati.
Okay. Oh, boy.
He's at the Institute of Genetics Education. We'll be talking to him in a moment. We'll be back. This is the Chris and Rob Show on WAIF. W-A-I-F.
Well, ain't that funky?
Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, WAIF. Wow, ain't I funky radio in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're talking about human cloning tonight, and we, in case you just tuned in, we just wrapped up a conversation with Dr. Bridget Bosselet of CloneAid. CloneAid is offering to clone you for $200,000. Pretty open and shut case there. The technology should be ready shortly, within the next couple of years. They also have a service called InsureClone, which for a $50,000 fee will provide the sampling and safe storage of your cells from your living child or from yourself or a loved one in order to create a clone if your child or loved one dies of an incurable disease or through an accident. CloneAid also offers Clone a Pet. the cloning of pets to well-off individuals who wish to see their lost pet brought back to life. This service will also be offered to the owners of racing horses, a very promising market given the outrageous prices paid for champion horses. And I might add to that, there is no legislation that restricts animal cloning, only human cloning currently in the United States.
But doesn't Clone Aid sound like something Quincy Jones threw together? Some of his celebrity friends got together to sing a song and raise money for the clones of the world. The poor, misbegotten, mistreated clones. You got Quincy, you got Bob Dylan, who walks out halfway through with Waylon Jennings because he's mad, and Bob Geldof, Billy Barty, they're all together singing a song
about clones. And of course, Michael will be there because Michael has become a clone of himself.
Michael and Diana both get solos, Cyndi Lauper's in the house, and they get the Police together for the first time in 10 years to provide a chorus.
You mean Sting and those guys?
Sting and Gordon and the other, whatever they
are. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Our next guest discussing further implications of human cloning is Clay Dillingham of the Institute of Genetics Education. Clay is a biocultural anthropologist. What in the world, Clay, does a biocultural anthropologist do for a living?
We clone people.
No, you don't.
Actually, you're speaking to Clay's clone. He couldn't be here this evening, so he asked me to step in for him.
Oh, I got you. Hey, this is the part of the program in which we're going to attempt to take listener phone calls. So if you'd like to call in and talk to Chris and Rob or our guest about human cloning and the implications of it, and if maybe you'd like to be cloned, give us a call. 961-8900 is the phone number, 961-8900. Clay Dillingham, seriously, what is a biocultural anthropologist?
That's a very good question. A biocultural anthropologist is an anthropologist that's interested in human behavior as explained by a combination of biology and culture. And this fits right into the whole cloning issue because I think an awful lot of people are interested in human cloning as a way of duplicating themselves in a behavioral sense, not just in a physical sense.
Well, that's I was just going to say that doesn't sound to me like any... It sounds to me like anybody, any reasonable... intelligence would know that a clone is not you, that if you think you're going to clone yourself and then you won't be scared to die, that you're crazy because you're still going to die, and that environment has just as much to do with who you are as genetics, and that your little clone may be a little creep because he grows up in a different environment than you. I don't get where all the controversy and all the scary Twilight Zone stuff comes into it.
Well, an awful lot of people are still believe that genetics is destiny, and that's actually propagated in the news rather frequently. We have genes for obesity now, we have genes for violence, we have genes for religiosity, genes for curiosity. None of these things have been proven, but this sort of thing gets into the media, and then people begin to think that I am the way I am because I'm genetically predestined to be that way.
But you're not predestined. The way I understand it is you're not predestined, but you're maybe predisposed. So maybe you got the gene to be a big fat guy. Maybe you're more likely to be a big fat guy unless you work at it a little bit harder. Or you got the gene to be a thief. You're going to be a thief, but maybe you have to resist a little bit harder than the average person. But it's not a destiny that you're on that path and you can't get off of.
Wait a minute, are there genes that affect behavior? I thought genes affected your physique, your physical attributes, but I didn't know that there were genes that could influence your behavior, like making you a thief.
I just made that one up.
Oh, okay.
Think of genes as being potential. There's very few things that I can put my finger on that that I could say you're genetically predisposed to do. There are a few things. There are some diseases that definitely you can't escape if you're genetically, if you're a genetic carrier. Huntington's disease is a good one. Tay-Sachs is one. If you carry the genes for that, you will get the disease and you will die. But in terms of human behavior and human health in general, the environment is extremely important.
Is cloning, you think, for a couple who can't have a baby, is cloning a better way to go than the fertility drugs? It seems to me like if you can make a clone and there's only one, that's got to be a lot better than taking the fertility drugs and maybe having 8 runts.
I think cloning for infertile couples is a very good use of this new technology. Yes, I think that would be very satisfactory for a couple.
Now, if you make a clone, is all the genetic material going to come from either the mother or the father? It's not going to be a mixture anymore? Is that the big difference?
That's another good question. In cloning, you will take the chromosomes from either a male or a female and insert those into an egg cell which has been denucleated, so there's no chromosomal material in it. And so what develops will be genetically pretty identical to only the donor. Now there's also a big chunk of genes in a little organelle called a mitochondria, which only comes from the mother, and that would not get passed on. So actually clones are less genetically identical than identical twins are.
So even though you say you want a boy, so you take the DNA from the male, it's not going to be the exact duplicate. There still may be some of the woman's side's traits.
That's right. He carries his mother's mitochondrial DNA in each of his cells.
Uh-huh.
And the mitochondrial DNA accounts for an awful lot of the cell's ability to operate. It's the sort of the factory of the cell.
Hey, I heard it's your mother's side determines on whether or not you're going to go bald. Is that true?
In some kinds of baldness, it is passed down through the mother. But not all of it. Sometimes it's due to lousy barbers.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF. If you'd like to call into the program and talk to our guest, a biocultural anthropologist from Santa Fe, New Mexico, Clay Dillingham, the phone number here at WAIF is 961-8900.
I would encourage your guests to visit the website.
Oh, yeah? Do you have an address?
Of your website.
Oh, okay, good.
And then from there, link to Dr. Bridget, Beausoleil?
Yeah, she's French, Beausoleil.
Beausoleil's website. The insurer clone and the clone of pets sort of sound like clones are us. So I'd want people to take a good look at that and judge for themselves if it's...
They can
do what they say they're trying to do.
Does it sound like a good idea to you ethically what Clonaid is proposing to do?
As in, when you start getting into ethics, I'm afraid you're talking to the wrong person.
It just sounds to me like another way for the idle rich to waste their money.
Well, this is one way in which I think the cloning technology can be misused. Would be that it will probably be and she may dispute me on this, but I think it would probably be something that at least initially only very wealthy people can take advantage of. And this is true of all technologies. You know, the more money you have, the more you have access to them. And unfortunately, this could lead to additional forms of discrimination.
And you see in the future that only clones, there'll be like clones-only clubs.
That could be.
Well, let me ask you something. Let's suppose that a few years down the line, you do have cloning process that takes place, and suddenly people who are clones are working members of society. You find out one day that you're a clone and that there's another version of you, the quote-unquote real version of you, running around out in the world somewhere, and that you're a clone. Will that be an inferiority complex for some folks?
Well, let's ask the people out there in the audience who suddenly discover that they have an identical twin somewhere, that they may have been separated at birth and adopted by different families.
So like Dr. Beausoleil, you're saying that a clone is nothing more or less than an identical twin.
That's not quite precise because, again, they will be born generations apart and they will not be genetically identical the way identical twins are. But other than that, yes, essentially you will have an individual human being.
What about some of these science fiction stories that you read or see in the movies where an evil government or even an evil mad scientist will create an army of, say, Sylvester Stallone's or Kurt Russell's, and you'll have an army of these super-duper tough guys who've been trained to do the bidding of evil?
Well, I think that's a possibility.
That's what that new Star Wars movie is supposed to be about.
I think that's a possibility. Of course, you know, right now it's easier and cheaper just to take a bunch of teenage recruits and put them through boot camp for a few weeks.
Okay,
and
hold on now. You're starting to run down the country that we all love.
And they come out pretty hot to shoot machine guns and kill people and so forth. So I don't think you need to go through the whole process of cloning them and then raising them and so on to do that. You can pretty much socialize them to do that right off the bat.
You need to think big.
Yeah, isn't the idea behind this evil scenario where you would start cloning only the super strong and you'd clone some kind of a master race and you'd actually do some breeding like you do with champion horses and breed the toughest soldier that you can.
That's perfectly capable. Yeah, we could do that. We could take, we could improve the human specimen, and we could dumb them down as well, so that they would be much, much more efficient soldiers.
Well, you don't want to talk about ethics, but that's got to sound wrong to you.
It sounds different.
Come on, Doc, say it's wrong.
Well, it depends on whether you're using those people to defend you or if you're using those people to, or if those people are fighting against
you.
Well,
let's see. Dr. Clay Dillingham, he's out in the middle of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Plenty of area all around out in the desert. Lot of land if he wants to have a training ground.
I see what you're getting at, Rob.
Perhaps you're already into this? Your hesitancy makes one wonder.
Let me pose a more interesting question to you, I think.
Okay, please.
And that is that once we begin gene therapies, where we can begin adding and removing genes from people's chromosomes, from their genomes, it will become very easy for us to make some groups of people fertile and other groups of people infertile.
So welfare mothers will be infertile. We can make welfare mothers infertile.
You could imagine that sort of situation. Now let's imagine a situation where you're a member of a group of people, maybe a religious group or a political group or something like that, who's very interested in keeping your group solidified biologically as well as culturally. Then you could see this group engaging in gene therapy where all of their offspring would have the gene which allowed them to only reproduce effectively with somebody else carrying that same gene.
So you're saying the Aryan Nation could set it up so their kids will only reproduce with the Aryan Nation?
Yeah, you could do this with any group. I mean, it could be Democrats, it could be people from over the Rhine, it could be, you know, any group of people could potentially do that. And what you end up with that is a new species.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, talking to Clay Dillingham of the Institute of Genetics Education, and we're talking about human cloning. If you'd like to call into the program, the phone number at WAIF is 961-8900.
When can we look for the first human clone, the proven, established, trotted out on 60 Minutes? Talk to Andy Rooney, human clone.
Well, I think we'll probably have the first human clone this year. I don't think they'll be talking to Andy Rooney for several years.
Well, there'll be a little baby, right?
Yeah, I think we'll have a human clone sometime this year.
Is there a race between scientists, like how there was a race to build the first nuclear bomb? Is there a race between different scientists around the world to try to make the first human clone?
My best guess is yes. And the reason is because it's economically very desirable.
Well, who besides CloneAid is doing this research? I've heard of a fellow in Chicago named Richard Seed. Who's he, and is there anyone besides him doing it?
I don't know whether we should take Richard Seed seriously or not.
Well, who is he?
I believe his degree is actually in physics, maybe, but I really can't speak intelligently on Richard Seed. I'm sorry. Yeah, but as you already mentioned, the Koreans have apparently successfully already cloned a person.
Come on, Dr. Dillingham, admit it though. It's one thing to clone a Korean; it's quite another to clone an American.
I guess from some perspective that might be very true. Koreans are Korean and Americans American, so that's...
They got different genes and stuff.
They probably do.
Anybody else that we're aware of working on this technology?
Ian Wilmot, who cloned Dolly 2 years ago, has just announced that he's willing to start looking into cloning human beings.
You know why he's into this genetic research, that Ian Wilmot guy?
Yes.
He's trying to make the perfect haggis. He's just trying to develop the sheep. He wants a sheep with like four stomachs. He just wants a four-stomach sheep, so he's going to make four haggises out of a sheep.
Well, that would certainly help the bagpipe industry, wouldn't it?
I didn't know we were going to go this route, but just in case, a lot of people haven't heard of haggis. The ingredients of haggis are as follows.
Stomach, heart, liver, kidneys, and lungs of a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's just trying to make like a three-hearted sheep, so he can have twice as much haggis to enjoy.
We have sweetbreads and they have haggis.
So, but it could actually, cloning could be beneficial in a democratic sense, in that poor people, or middle class people at least, could enjoy like horse racing and greyhound racing and stuff, because you won't have to have all that expensive breeding going on.
A very good use of cloning technology, besides providing a way for infertile couples to have offspring that would be genetically similar to themselves, is that if we begin cloning embryos, we can remove these stem cells from these, and then if we can figure out how to trigger these stem cells into growing into different kinds of differentiated, specialized cells, now we've really got something that would be a great benefit, I think.
Well, please put that in layman's terms.
Alrighty. When you're dealing with an embryo, all of the cells are undifferentiated. In other words, they're all identical. And at some point, for some reason, which we don't quite understand yet, they begin differentiating into the cells that will become eyes, and the cells that become skin, and the cells that become the central nervous system, and so on and so forth.
Okay, so we have this blob of cells.
Got a blob of cells.
And then at some point, it becomes a blob of eye cells, a blob of ear cells, a blob of brain cells, and we don't know why those cells become eye cells or knee cells or whatever they become.
Exactly. Each of those cells is genetically identical to each and every other cell. But for some reason, only those genes, which determine whether it's going to be an eye or a fingernail, turn on, and the cell grows and develops in that direction.
So this would lead to cloning of organs.
Now you can start, right. Now you can start building organs for people. So for example, if you have people who are severely burned in fires and need lots of skin, and they need skin which their body will not reject, then you can go in and begin growing skin that's from this person for this person, by using stem cells from a cloned embryo.
And everyone knows that kidneys and livers are pretty hard to come by.
Very hard to come by, very expensive. So you can see why Ian Wilman and others are very interested in getting into human cloning as quickly as possible.
Well, why are so many people frightened about cloning? Congress has enacted legislation that bans the use of federal funding for the cloning of humans. Does that mean that it's illegal to do it, or does that mean it's just illegal to get money from the government to do it?
You got it. It's just illegal to do it if you're federally funded. If you're not federally funded, you can do it.
So Ross Perot could hire somebody to do it if he wanted.
He could do it. In fact, there's somebody in Texas right now who's paid $2.3 million to have their dog cloned.
Oh, my God.
Did it work?
Gave the money to the University of Texas, and the dog's name is Missy. And the project is called Missiplicity.
Did it work? Have they done it?
They're in process. I'm sure they'll be able to.
But again, why is everyone afraid of it, and why has Congress and the President made legislation making some aspects of it illegal?
It's a very good question. A lot of it has to do with pressure from the religious right, I think. This sort of bleeds into notions of abortion and the human soul and so forth, as you've already touched on. And so it's a very sensitive issue to religious conservatives. They vote. They also provide a lot of money to political campaigns. Another reason is that there's a great deal of uncertainty about whether or not cloned human beings have the same rights as non-cloned human beings.
What?
How could there be any question about that?
There is question. It's just it's the same sort of thing as questioning whether or not clones have souls or not.
Well, we were talking about that with our.
Do they have rights? Do they have souls?
If they walk around, and they have to have a job, they pay taxes. They're regular, normal people, aren't they? Why would they not be citizens?
Well, you think so. There are other people who question that. They wonder if these people will have a sense of self, whether they will have a sense of individuality, if they'll even have a sense of identity. Because, as you mentioned earlier, what happens if you woke up one day and found out you were a clone? Who would you really be? Now, what these people don't do is then take it the next step further, in my opinion anyway, and say to themselves, well, obviously, if I was an identical twin, I would be having the same sorts of questions, and they would be very quickly answered.
And say, I'm me. I'm the cat who gets up every day
and
goes to the drugstore to sell flare pens. That's who I am. It doesn't matter where I came from.
Well, now,
I'm too sensible.
Let's throw this in here. Let's say that you're the product of a... the DNA of one woman,
okay.
The egg of another woman,
look out now,
which was then implanted in a third woman,
mm-hmm.
The child was born and then raised by a fourth woman. Who is your father and who is your mother?
I would probably be a big sissy boy.
Well, it would certainly make things a little complicated for you when you started to get into situations where people want to know who's your family, what's your pedigree, where do you come from?
Well, you know, a few uncomfortable moments at a cocktail party is one thing. And, you know, persistent nagging doubts in the quiet times of your life are one thing.
Okay.
But telling a person who works and has a job and then can have their own family that, hey, you can't vote because of the way you're conceived.
Okay, well, let's say that you end up making a lot of money.
Okay, I make a lot of money.
Okay, you're making a lot of money, and these four women have good lawyers. Okay, now all of a sudden they're all saying that they have a right to your property because they've contributed to who you are. They, each of them, are your mother.
No, that's just like, that would be just if you put a kid up for adoption and that kid goes on to become a millionaire, you don't have any rights to that kid. I got this all figured out, Clay.
Let's wait till it gets out of court and then we'll know where that stands. But right now it's kind of iffy. In other words, there aren't good definitions for these things in our society yet and how we're going to handle these kinds of situations.
Well, technology moves faster than the law quite often, so that's nothing new.
Can children sue their parents in our society?
I believe
in
some
Texas
states, yeah, in Florida.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this.
You know, this topic of human cloning has opened up even more questions than I thought. I think it's a good topic for talk radio. If you'd like to call into the program, our guest is Clay Dillingham of the Institute for Genetics Education in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And we're talking about human cloning. If you'd like to call into the program, our number here at the Chris and Rob Show is 961-8900.
So do you believe in a soul, Dr. Dillingham?
Are we on the air?
Oh, yeah.
So you believe one in public, and then maybe off the air you're not so sure about it?
No, I have two souls, one on the bottom of each of my shoes.
So you're one of those atheist scientists?
No, I'm actually, I guess you would best call me an agnostic.
You're one of those agnostic scientists.
I know, isn't it terrible? I knoweth not what the truth is at this point, but I'm certainly open to suggestions.
So what about this whole notion of science playing God? It seems to me like that's a huge red herring thrown up by a lot of people. Scientists shouldn't play God. Well, you know, did the caveman say that to the other first caveman who tried to make fire? Hey, only God can make fire with lightning, so you shouldn't try to make fire.
Okay.
So do you have any problems with this playing God, or you don't mind playing God?
Again, that's sort of, are you talking about the Hindu god or the Comanche god?
I'm talking about your god.
You're talking about my god.
I'm talking about the god that's going to cast you into the eternal lake of fire and damnation, where your soul will be tormented by the flames of all hellfire. That god.
Life's a bitch, Clay, you know, get used to it.
are we talking about the god in Cincinnati then, the god of Simon Leese and the god of...
Carl Lindner? No.
I think an interesting point was brought up by your previous guest about the notion of souls, and that souls, or maybe it was yourself who said that a soul apparently becomes or enters into the body at the moment of conception. In other words, when the sperm meets the egg is one viewpoint.
Right.
Well, if that fertilized egg then divides and grows into two individuals, do they end up with half a soul each to make one?
Chris?
I don't know. It's just a question.